verse 7. 61 and 7. This verse, of course, has double in it, and that's what we'll focus on here. I promise I won't preach double the whole year. Just to present our theme here this month, and expect double of what the Lord. Work for double. Believe for double. Praise God. This verse will need a little bit of explanation. For your shame, you shall have double. And for confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. Now, the NLT, which it oftentimes what we refer to for just another perspective, it says this: instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. Praise God. I like that. So double blessing. That's what I want you to believe for. That's what I want you to expect. That's what I want you to receive. A double blessing. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. The Lord bless you. We talked about don't double, things that we don't want to double. And Revelation 18:6 is where we took that thought because of the judgment that is coming upon Babylon. I looked at Brother Teresa's commentary on Revelation, and through his Greek understanding, his Greek knowledge, he translated it double the double. In other words, it's really going to be bad for Babylon. And we certainly don't want to share in those aspects of judgment. Amen. We looked at division. We looked at how the devil enjoys that aspect and how he wants to bring that into the experience of God's people. Right from the beginning, Adam and Eve were separated from the Lord. There was a division that was there, and then escorted out of the garden, and a division there as well. But look how God wants to multiply. Amen. Let me just spend a few moments going over this point. Multiply. Genesis 22 and 17, this was the promise to Abraham that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Now, he had no child by Sarah, but God kept his promise, and Isaac was born. Amen. And that, I like that, possess the gate of his enemies. Does that mean the gates of hell are not going to prevail? Amen. And gates were a very real thing in this time. Every city had to have walls and had to have gates. And I thought, as Sister Donna was teaching and talking about Isaac, Rebecca, and then Jacob and Esau, just for a moment, take a look here at Genesis 24 and verse 60. This is when the servant went to get a bride for Isaac. And Rebecca, of course, is the one who met the qualifications spoke exactly what the servant asked the Lord to do to verify she would be the one. And then her family blessed Rebekah, 24:60, and said unto her, Thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions. They probably said that with a smile. They probably knew they were exaggerating as far as their perspective was concerned. But that's God's promise. Thousands of millions. Praise God. The Lord doesn't fool around with his promise, does he? Amen. And then look at the end of the verse. For thy seed, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. There it is again. That aspect of the gate. And how the Lord is going to bring his blessing and provide his power for the church that will assault the gates of hell, come against the gates of hell, tear down those strongholds, and see the Lord bring his multiplication. Israel and Egypt, the multiplication story goes on, Exodus 1 and 7. The children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied. I like the way it's just, it continues with the aspect of the growth, fruitful, increased abundantly, multiplied, waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. That's why the Egyptians were feeling insecure, as they thought, an enemy comes against us and unites with these Israelites. There's so many of them, we're going to be in trouble. And so they afflicted them. But verse 12 lets us know, the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Praise God. So God's going to bring about his promise. It doesn't matter what man does. It doesn't matter what the devil does. I'm thankful that we can put our trust in the Lord. And though the church today may be afflicted, there's virus, there's vitriol, there's all kinds of things coming against the church, God is going to bring forth his power and his victory. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, the word of God says, but God hath delivered him out of them all. And David goes on to say, I once was young, but now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Oh, thank God that we know the promise of the Lord. Amen. We'll continue with the multiplication. Israel in the promised land. Leviticus 26 and 9. For I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. Praise God. There's the multiplication again. Deuteronomy 30 and 16. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. So God's plan down through the generations, down through the work that he did with his people, was to multiply. The church in the book of Acts, we're very familiar with these verses, Acts 6 and 7, the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Praise God. Some estimate that the church numbered in Jerusalem 80,000. No wonder they said, you've turned the world upside down. No wonder they said, you've filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. A great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. That's good. Amen. There were those who held to Jewish law and recognized the power of Jesus Christ and obeyed what the word of the Lord said. Chapter 9, verse 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. Isn't that how the Lord said it was going to spread? How he said, you're going to be witnesses to me, and it was going to be an ever-expanding circle or ripple that was going to go forth. They were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful that's God's plan for his people. I'm thankful that's what we put our trust in. And so the blessings continue to come with God's goodness. 1 Peter 1 and 2, this is the message for us today. The church and the multiplication that the Lord desires to see. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Thank God. That's a double blessing. That's what God wants to give. Jude, verse 2, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Glory to God. So God wants you to expect double. God wants you to receive double. He wants his goodness to continue to multiply for his people. Double and much more. Praise God. So, let me share with you the double blessing. First of all, a double vision. Saul of Tarsus, threatening, more than threatening, imprisoning, causing them to blaspheme, doing terrible things to Jesus' name people, on his way to Damascus to do even more. But a bright light from heaven shone down. He testified it was a great light. It was a light above the brightness of the sun. That's pretty bright. And then there was the voice, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? He spoke it right out. Amen. He didn't want to have any confusion. He wanted to know who's speaking. And thank God, I am, is what Saul of Tarsus would be very familiar with. But not the part that it continued, I am Jesus. Praise God. And oh, what a change that came for him in that vision. And then Ananias had a vision. Ananias, the Lord called out. Behold, I am here, Lord. No wonder Ananias was the one selected. No wonder he's the one that God was going to call upon. Amen. The Lord told him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight. I like the way that God's going to put us there. If you mean business with the Lord, that's where you're going to end up, on Straight Street. Praise God. And whatever meaning you want to put with that, go ahead. Praise God, because that's the way God wants us to be. That's where God desires us to walk. Hallelujah. Go to Straight Street. Saul of Tarsus is there, and he's praying. Oh, God. And Ananias is praying, and he hesitated. But he knew the voice of God, and he obeyed. Praise the Lord. And a vision, again, was happening for Saul at the same time. God told him about Saul's vision. He hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. So Ananias went to Damascus. Ananias walked down Straight Street. Ananias came to Saul of Tarsus and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest. I like the way he's verifying. It was Jesus. It wasn't a hallucination. It wasn't something that the devil is trying to misguide you on. It's not something that you can doubt, but it's something we can verify. The Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, man. Oh, I wonder what was going through Saul's mind. I wonder how he was amazed that these visions were being verified, these names were being called, this word was being given. But Saul received his sight, he arose, and he was baptized. Some might say, well, he didn't say he received the Holy Ghost. Well, go to 1 Corinthians 14, where he says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. Uh-huh. Now, we don't hear of Ananias again, but the one he baptized and prayed through became Paul the Apostle, author of about half of the New Testament, missionary on three continents and the power of God being displayed through him. Oh, that God would encourage us to hear his voice and obey it and go forth, thank God, to pray and to testify and to baptize, praise God, and to see the hand of the Lord displayed. A double vision that would be there to bring forth the fulfillment of what God would desire. The conversion of Cornelius and his household include a double vision. Imagine Cornelius, a centurion of the Italian band. How much did he know about the things of God? Was he serving simply from the Hebrew aspect of obeying the law? Or did he really understand Jesus is Messiah? Jesus is the Christ. His position as captain of 100 soldiers and a man who is Italian, a different language, a different culture, it didn't matter. The Lord would reach out to everyone. Yet Cornelius, the Bible describes as a devout man, feared God with all his house, gave much alms, prayed to God always. And then he saw a vision. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, an angel spoke to him. Amen. Told him, your prayers, your giving, has come up as a memorial before God. Send to Joppa. Simon Peter is there. He'll come and he'll tell thee what you ought to do. And later on in Acts 11 and 14, Peter would declare, he told him that I would be there to give him words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And just about all of Christendom would sit back in their chair in astonishment. Saved? He's already saved. He's devout. He fears God. He gives alms. He prays always. His whole house is in agreement with him in serving the Lord. Isn't that good enough? No, Cornelius recognized, this is what God wants me to do. He immediately obeyed. He sent two of his servants and a soldier to find Peter. And so over to Joppa they go. Peter, in the meantime, is on the rooftop. Remember, he's staying with Simon a tanner. He's probably up there getting away from the smell. He was hungry and would have gone to eat, but a vision. Praise God. A double vision. He saw a great sheet like a bag and had animals and birds in it. And the voice instructing him to rise, Peter, slay and eat. But Peter argued with God. I'm not sure that's a good thing. So it had to happen 3 times. Thank the Lord for his patience with us. Thank the Lord that he continues to speak to us. He continues to confirm. He continues to verify. Because sometimes we've got a stubborn streak. Amen. You want God to give you a double blessing? Pray that he'll take that stubbornness out of you. I'm hearing some moaning and groaning, but I'm not hearing very many amens. 3 times it happened. And each time God said, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common or unclean. So Peter's thinking about this now. The vision is gone. He doubted. He's wondering. He thought on it. And then the Spirit directed him. 3 men seek you. Go with them, doubting nothing. That's good instruction. Don't doubt. Well, Peter took 6 others with him. That's a good team. Why not? And so when he got to Cornelius' house, Cornelius had already gathered his relatives and his neighbors, and Cornelius fell at Peter's feet. But Peter told him, stand up. I'd have that verse in Peter's Basilica. Peter said, God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. That's a good evidence. Peter's catching on, see? He's recognizing what God's trying to do. Cornelius said, we are all here present before God. to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. This man was hungry. He was searching. He was desiring. He wasn't just waving a banner saying, hey, I saw an angel. He told me my prayers and my alms are come up as a memorial before God. Isn't that something? Ain't I special? No, he was hungry for the things of God. And Peter went on to talk about his vision. I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Praise the Lord. God showed him, and now his perception is such that he recognizes it's open to everybody. So Peter began to preach. He preached about the peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. There's those pesky parentheses again. He is Lord of all. That ought to be in capitals and italics and bold. Jesus went about doing good, he said, healing all oppressed. They killed him. They hanged him on a tree or a cross, but God raised him up on the third day. We ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He's letting them know it's true. It's not just some fairy tale. And then he said, through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And somehow there was a connection of faith. There was a connection of believing. Praise God. And the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Amen. Oh, thank God the Lord is not going to leave anybody out that's hungry and thirsty and believing God. Hallelujah. The Jews that came with Peter were astonished that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues. Oh, thank the Lord. There's a consistency in the Word of God. There's evidence that God fulfills his plan and his will. And oh, thank God it happened to me. Thank God it happened to you. Thank God it can happen to so many more that you believe the Lord to do a work for his name. Peter offered a question and then a command. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized who've received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And then he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Our organization, the United Pentecostal Church International, is focused on church plants. We desire to see church plant. What a church plant right here in Caesarea through Cornelius' desire and hunger for the things of God. Oh, that the Lord would plant more churches. Amen. Because of your giving to Christmas for Christ and your desire to see the hand of God displayed in a great way. A double blessing. A double blessing. The former and the latter rain in the scripture, you know, is double. It was necessary in Israel for growing crops. It was necessary for them to know and plan around it for harvesting their crops. And thank God Joel includes it as a promise. Chapter 2, 23, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. And he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Thank God there can be a gladness. There can be a rejoicing, not a moaning and groaning, not a feeling like everything's coming apart, everything's coming down. We're having so many problems, so many difficulties, so many things happening in our world. But oh, thank God we can look for that rain. We can believe God for his blessings. We desire to see the double blessing poured out. Hallelujah. Amen. If the former rain is given moderately, is that an indication? Is that an implication that the latter rain is going to be even greater? It doesn't say it in so many terms, but thank God we can believe it will be double. It will be more. It will be a blessing. We will receive from the Lord. Hallelujah. God already promised rain and showers. We don't have to go all the way back to Noah, but look at Psalm 72 and 6. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. Ezekiel 34 and 26. I will make them in the places around about my hill of blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. Thank God for the power of the Lord that would come forth as he would pour out His Spirit. We know Joel 2 and 28 to be the prophecy that the Apostle Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Thank God it was fulfilled exactly as God declared. And Peter would repeat the pour out aspect of verse 29. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit. Thank God that the power of the Lord would be fulfilled. Shed forth means poured out. Go all the way to Acts 2 and 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted by the power of God, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth or poured out, which you now see and hear. That's the Greek, pour forth, gush out. Amen. Shed abroad means poured. Romans 5 and 5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Again, the Greek there means to pour forth, to gush out. Thank God when the Lord gives his Spirit, when he pours out the Holy Ghost, it's not just a few drops that sprinkled around. Thank God it's powerful. It's wonderful. It's glorious. It's marvelous. Hallelujah. Cornelius and the others had the Holy Ghost poured out upon them. And the Jewish believers were astonished when they saw it. Thank God the early rain of Pentecost has already happened. The latter rain in the last days is taking place. And I believe God desires to do even more. God desires to show forth even more. James said, be patient for the coming of the Lord. The early and the latter rain, he said, will bring forth the precious fruit of the earth. That's true, of course, for the natural harvest, and it's true as well for the spiritual harvest. Thank the Lord for the Spirit being poured out today. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. But I remember the report giving that in one service, Brother Cunningham would say it, in one service at least seven times, 3,000 were filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's some years ago already. That's already happened several times years ago. But God wants to pour it out today. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for the power of the Lord. Amen. I may not see 3,000 in one service, but I'd sure like to see them get filled with the Holy Ghost right here, right in our camp meeting, right in our youth camp. Praise God. Whatever venue the Lord wants to use, I want him to fulfill that promise. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank God that we can have that power and that blessing. And that double rain. Now, latter and greater is included with glory. Haggai 2 and 9. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. He's referring to the rebuilding of the temple. The Lord promised to give peace. There was turmoil. There was chaos. There was confusion. There was opposition. But the Lord says, be strong. Amen. Some may have felt the rebuilt temple didn't measure up to the former. They're forgetting that a heathen king is the one who's financing this. They're forgetting that a heathen king is the one who released them and released all the vessels that had been taken from the temple 70 years before. He's now replenishing it. He's now sending it all back. They should have been thrilled beyond measure. They should have recognized how powerful and how wonderful it is. But Haggai asks the question in verse 3. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? He's causing them to fess up. He's helping them to understand. You can't be belittling the things of God. You can't be just saying, oh, I wish I was back in that time. He was referring to the glory in the temple that Solomon built. And certainly it was a wonderful time. It was a powerful time. Solomon's temple was incredible. The people gave great praise at its dedication. The cloud of glory filled the temple. The priests could not minister, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. And oh, God is going to do it again. Hallelujah. His power is going to come forth. The glory is going to be made known. Amen. They needed to hear, be strong and continue the work. The Lord said, I am with you. Ezra records how that many of the priests and the Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house, this is Ezra 3:12, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice. And many shouted aloud for joy. The weeping and the rejoicing was mingled, but the people shouted with a loud shout. Oh, thank God we can believe that God is going to fulfill his promise, that God is going to bring forth his power, that God is going to do a great work, and the latter glory is going to be even greater. It became greater because Jesus the Messiah came to the temple when he was 8 days old, when he was 12 years old, when he was 30 years old. Thank God the glory came to that temple. Oh, I'm thankful that God fulfills his word. Malachi 3:1 talks about John being the messenger. Malachi 3:1 talks about the one who would come with a new covenant. Oh, thank the Lord that God fulfilled his word exactly as he declared it was going to happen. Jesus taught, Jesus healed in Jerusalem, and the temple was glorious. He emphasized the temple needs to be a house of prayer. And then he wept over Jerusalem. He prophesied the destruction. Not one stone would be left upon another because they did not recognize the day of their visitation. Oh, God, help us to recognize there are times that God is going to come and move upon us. There are times that God is going to work upon us. And we need to respond in the blessing of the Lord and step forth in the power of his Spirit. Just as Jesus taught daily in the temple, and they tried to take hold of his words to condemn him. They tried to take hold of his words to contradict him. Let the people of God take hold of his words in faith. Let the people of God take hold of his word in obedience. Hallelujah. To step forth into the power and the blessing that God wants to give, because you are the temple. Amen. God loves to fill his temple. God filled that room where they were sitting in one mind and one accord. The sound of a rushing mighty wind filled all the house. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. In Acts 4, we know the disciples prayed for boldness. They prayed for the Lord to do healing. They prayed for signs and wonders, and the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word of God with boldness, and with great power gave witness of the resurrection. Thank God for that goodness and the blessing of the Lord. Barnabas and Paul being persecuted, expelled out of Antioch. Acts 13:52 says the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, there will be opposition. Not everyone's going to be receptive. That's all right. Stay filled with joy. Stay filled with the Holy Ghost, because you are that temple. Amen. The Bible tells us to be built upon the foundation of Jesus and the apostles. In Ephesians 2, to be a holy temple in the Lord, a habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. The Corinthian church had a lot of situations. They needed to be reminded again and again, so Paul reminded them. 1 Corinthians 3, you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. The temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Chapter 6, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is in you. You are not your own. 2 Corinthians 6, you are the temple of the living God. God hath said, I will dwell in them. 2 Corinthians 3, we're changed into God's image from glory to glory. Hallelujah. By the Spirit of the Lord. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, the unfortunate thing today, the unfortunate thing, even in the Christian world, liberty is perceived as being allowed to do sin. That's not what the Lord is indicating His Spirit is for. You're free from sin, not to do sin. And Paul wrote, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, whether it be a Jewish law, or whether it be addictions, or whether it be lust or desire or sin, whatever it is, don't get tangled up again, but stand fast in the liberty. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord for that power and that blessing. He went on to say, you've been called unto liberty, but don't use liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Don't think that that's permission for you. No, you want the glory of God. You want God's glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Oh, thank the Lord for an up-to-date experience. I'm glad I got the Holy Ghost a whole bunch of years ago. But does the Holy Ghost have me today? That's what's got to be answered correctly. You can tell me you got the Holy Ghost a long time ago, but does the Holy Ghost have you? Amen. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Oh, hallelujah! Praise God for that hope that we have within us. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that's what God wants to do. He wants to dwell in you, not just tickle you, not just give you goosebumps, not just a chill up and down your spine. He wants to dwell in you. He wants to walk in you. He wants to show His power. Hallelujah. And if that Spirit dwells in you, He that quickened Christ shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Thank God there's a quickening that happened when we received the Holy Ghost. There was an impartation of life, abundant life that the Lord said would come. But oh, thank God, there's going to be the sounding of the trumpet. There's going to be the shout. There's going to be the voice of the archangel. And a quickening is going to take place if you have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. Hallelujah. And we'll be brought into that eternal realm in the heavenly place with our Lord forever. Paul said, I show you a mystery. We're going to be changed. We're going to put on incorruption. We're going to put on immortality. Death is swallowed up in victory. Thank God there's going to be a catching away. There's going to be the time that the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. The dead in Christ are going to rise. We're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Remember the text said, everlasting joy shall be unto them. Oh, I want that experience in the Lord. Amen. Thank God. There'll be those that might mock your worship, mock your lifestyle, mock your witness, but we'll be so glad we were carried away when we get carried away. Hallelujah. Amen. In the power of the Lord. Keep believing. Keep serving. Double. Double. God wants to multiply. God wants to bless. God wants you to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Double, triple, quadruple, however you want to measure it. Thank God. And let it be beyond measure, now and forever, because that's what the Lord desires from us today. Stand with me, please. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Go ahead and come to the front if you would, please. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Precious Father, we praise you, we praise you. Hallelujah. Oh, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Amen. I trust those of you watching online will join with us in prayer here. We're going to keep the feed going because we want you to feel what we're feeling. We want you to desire what we're desiring. Praise God. And oh, the power and the blessing of the Lord. It is so great, so wonderful, so powerful that we can have his strength and his blessing in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's call upon him together right now.